to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Joseph Farrell, he's got a million things to say about a million and a half subjects. And before we go on with the counterfeit bearer bonds, you know, you've said a lot of things in the first quarter of this episode. And the skeptics are going to say, oh, tells a fountain of stories there. How do we prove any of this? And if it's true, why aren't they coming after Joseph Farrell to say, hey, man, shut up?
I don't know why they're not coming after me to say, hey, shut up. You know, what I tell people is that this is all high octane speculation. I hope it's at least reasonable or argued speculation. To get back to this hidden system of finance and the bearer bond scandals for a minute here, I was talking about the Kennedy bearer bonds. Well, on the back of this bearer bond, it's very interesting that you have a picture of the moon. You have a picture of the lunar excursion module from the Apollo program, and you have a picture of the space shuttle. Now, all this suggests to me, and it suggested at the time, I wrote this in my covert wars books, that what they did when they set up this hidden system of finance, in order to gain the participation, the secret participation of the prime banks, they said, hey, look, all right, we know that we are going to need a lot of money and that basically what we're doing here is a form of fraud, all right? And we thank you for your participation. And what we're going to do is we're going to make you stakeholders in whatever it is that we find in outer space. So in other words, what they did was when they set up this system, they collateralized space and whatever might be there. They collateralized the resources. Now, the reason I think that's interesting is within a couple of years after I published all of this argument and speculation, all of a sudden we see the spate of stories about mining asteroids, going to the moon, mining the moon, going on to Mars, mining Mars. So in other words, they're telling you, in effect, they're admitting that, yeah, space has been collateralized and all of this effort to privatize space and get out there and make use of the resources in space, which, you know, there are just gobs of resources out there in the trillions and, incidentally, quadrillions of dollars. So, you know, here's the system that's propping up your derivatives that are in the quadrillions of dollars. No one has pointed out that the derivatives are in the quadrillions of dollars. In other words, they exceed the total gross domestic product of the entire planet. Now, you cannot have a system like that continue to function without collapsing unless there's something backing it up. And I think that we're being told, in effect, what that is. It's space. It's just that people aren't connecting the dots between all of this.
Yeah, just the amount of helium-3 that they could find on the moon is just worth ungodly amounts of money.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, these public space programs from private industries like SpaceX, now, they're pretty primitive as things go. They could barely launch a satellite into orbit. Right. But is this a cover-up, or is this basically making us accept the fact that there's a lot going on behind the scenes with regard to space exploration, and don't be so sad that we sort of gave it up after the moon landings?
Right, exactly. I think it's definitely the latter, Gene, because, again, we're looking at a system that at the end of World War II, when you factor in the Nazi loot, the Japanese loot, this is in the hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars at that time in 1945 dollars. All right. So over time, this money, in my opinion, would buy you a lot of prototypical secret technology. We're seeing some of it come out, I think, 3D printing and so on and so forth. I think, you know, 3D printing's been around for a long time.
3D printing is almost the first step for the replicator.
Exactly. It's the first step in the technology tree to the Star Trek replicator.
You know, that's very interesting here. Star Trek itself. Right. We look at how many inventions came out of Star Trek, like the 1960s, the StarTAC mobile phone of the 90s was a Star Trek communicator.
Right.
We look at the tablets in Star Trek Next Generation, and you pick up your iPad and say,
Exactly.
Okay. We look at warp drive. We look at even matter transmission, the transporter. We're working on that stuff.
Yes, we are. And again, to get back to your idea, are we being subjected to a controlled release of information? I think so. You know, Gene Roddenberry was connected to some of these people. So
how so?
Well, he had the connections within NASA. He had, you know, Putkammer and people like that that were advisors. I think he had some sort of inside track, or at least maybe had heard things and decided to incorporate them in his science fiction. But again, you're correct. All of these things, one is a coincidence, two makes you raise your eyebrows, but more than two, you know, you're starting to push the actuaries in Las Vegas a little bit there. So yeah, I think we're looking at controlled release of information, preparing us for things, you know. And then the other thing we got to remember in this connection, Gene, is the Chelyabinsk meteor. You know, that's another thing I find endlessly fascinating. The interesting thing about the Chelyabinsk meteor is a month before it happened, then President Dmitry Medvedev of Russia came out and said, you know, Russia needs to build an asteroid defense system. Okay.
I wonder why.
Exactly. And then, bang, a month later, we get the Chelyabinsk meteor, and it has all the appearance of someone, you know, either the Russians shot it down. But, you know, the real question it raises, wasn't that mighty convenient? So did someone have the technology to move a meteor towards Russia, and did the Russians have the technology to shoot it down? On and on we could go. But, yeah, I think we're looking at definitely the controlled release of information. They're getting us ready for something. And I think probably these bankster suicides and so on and so forth, they're cleaning house with the toxic paper, but they may also be cleaning house against people that may have discovered something that would endanger this whole national security apparatus, financial system, electronic clearing, and so on and so forth.
Okay, so what is to come, Joseph Farrell? Is this something that's good for us? Is it something that means that corporations take over and it's all about fascism? What's going to happen?
Well, I do think that the collateralization of space means one inevitable thing. Whenever you have maritime interest, and let's look at space in that fashion, because essentially what we're looking at is the ocean of space and trade and commerce being connected and conducted via that mechanism and medium. So when they start talking about mining asteroids and mining the moon, the hidden text that they're talking about is not simply the militarization of space, that's already happened, but they're talking subtly about the weaponization of space. In other words, actually putting weapons up there.
Oh, that's all we need.
Yeah, that's all we need. Recently, just to give you kind of an idea of the gargantuan scale that they're talking, I blogged on my website recently about a Japanese architectural firm that proposed the idea of putting solar collection panels around the entire equator of the moon and collecting energy and beaming it to Earth in the form of microwaves. Now, I don't know about you, but to collect microwave power of that scale would basically toast an area of the Earth where you would set up the antennae to do that. How do I know that? Because in the late 1950s and early 1960s, the U.S. Air Force proposed a similar scheme of putting satellites up in space to collect solar power and beam it to the Earth in the form of microwaves. The only problem was, in their study, that the collection antennas would be so concentrated that it would crisp an area of about 145 square kilometers where absolutely nothing could live. All right.
We're going to have to do the break here, but I just want to comment here. And that is, we're already in a sea of microwave radiation.
Yes.
With Wi-Fi and everything. Our brains are being fried. Why do we want to just fry the planet? Dr. Joseph Farrell does not want to fry the planet, for that matter. We have your questions, listeners, and a lot more coming. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
It's time to get your green on with the great green sale from Freeze Dry Guy. Now through St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, cases of delicious freeze-dried vegetables, green beans, and green peas are now on sale at veteran-owned freezedryguy.com. You don't need to be Irish to feel like you have pots of gold with a healthy supply of these delicious, nutritious green vegetables. They're perfect for your emergency preparedness needs or outdoor activities from camping to RV travel. Green beans and green peas, easy to prepare, easy to enjoy, and now easier than ever to buy. How about some green backs in your wallet or purse just for ordering? Act now, and Freeze Dry Guy will give you $25 in survival bucks for every case you purchase by St. Paddy's Day. So get your green on now, veggie lovers. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Some people suggest that my brain has been fried for many years. Chris's brain has been fried for many years. I won't speak of Dr. Joseph Farrell.
Oh, they suggested of me, too.
Yeah. All right, so welcome to the club.
I'm sure he has some piskiness associated.
Yep.
Well, you know, we're talking about microwave collection of energy from space. Now, I recall hearing, probably 10 or 12 years ago, Tom Bearden, rather, claimed that the electrical grid here in the United States has a lot of excess energy that's not actually used.
Yes.
In other words, when you create electricity and it goes out there, if you don't use it, you still have excess electricity. And what he suggested is that we're microwaving that excess energy grid electricity and energy to aid some sort of operations on the moon that were actually microwaving a radiation to the moon.
Let me just ask something here to kind of freshen that question, Chris. Does that imply, therefore, that not only are we harvesting money and secreting that away, we're also harvesting energy and using some of that excess energy for these strange purposes?
Oh, yeah. It's excess. It has to be used. You can't store it. You just ground it out.
Yes.
So why not go ahead and according to Bearden, he thinks that they're actually on the moon, that they do have operations already ongoing, and that this microwave conversion into microwave energy from our excess energy in the grid is actually helping that process up there. Have you heard anything like that, Joseph?
No, I haven't heard anything like that, but it wouldn't surprise me. Again, if we're talking about a hidden system of finance of this vast scale, like I indicated earlier, it'll buy you a lot of secret technology. Yeah. It'll also buy you a lot of ability to suppress the open discussion and development of some of these technologies, which ultimately I think are going to come out. I think they are coming out, as we discussed in the previous segment. So it wouldn't surprise me that they may have a secret capability to get humans up there and back again before lunch, so to speak. All right. But the problem with the Japanese plan was to do this on that kind of scale, the first thing that popped into my mind, they're not talking about a power plant at all. They're talking about a weapon. All right. Literally, less than, I think it was 4 days, 3 days, somewhere in that time frame, after the Japanese architectural firm had made this little announcement. In other words, we have a serious architectural firm in Tokyo drawing up the actual plans to do this, all right? So after they came out with this, the Chinese, and I blogged about this, the Chinese within days came out with a plan to turn the moon, in their words, into a, quote, death star, unquote. Now, the question I have to ask is, all right, the Chinese read the Japanese and read them correctly, in my opinion. So the real question is, why do we need to turn the whole frickin' moon into a weapon? Is it for threats against Earth? Well, there's nobody down here that, you know, would, I think, want to crisp the planet. So it has to be some either real external threat, or they want us to think there's a real external threat. Right. Either way, the goal's the same. They want to weaponize space. That's the agenda. And, you know, we go all the way back to Carol Rosen and what she said about Dr. Wernher von Braun, that this was the ultimate game that they were after, putting weapons in space.
Right.
So, you know, I go back again to this idea of the collateralization of space. If you collateralize it, if you commercialize it, if space is dependent now on international clearing, and, you know, let's look at another fact here. The reserve currency status of the U.S. dollar, just like all reserve currencies previously in history, have been based on naval powers: Venice, Portugal, Spain, France, England, and so on. Well, now the reserve currency of the world is the dollar. And because so much international clearing is done electronically, this means space becomes the key to international clearing and to the reserve status of the dollar. So that's yet another reason, not just to militarize space, but if you're commercializing it, it's another reason to weaponize space. So all of this is tied together.
Yes, but also creates the complication then of other countries also wanting
Bingo.
To weaponize space.
Bingo.
And
Bingo.
Suddenly we've got potential conflicts that maybe we don't want.
Yes, exactly. I think ultimately, when Medvedev came out with his statement about an asteroid defense system, it's very interesting what he said. He said, firstly, that, you know, Russia could do this on its own, but it would only be a protection for Russia, and that what was needed was some sort of international system of asteroid defense and monitoring and so on and so forth. So in other words, even Russia is in on this game of trying to internationalize space, commercialize it, and weaponize it. We're going to see how they do this.
So now, of course, with Vladimir doing all sorts of irrational things, you wonder where he's going to take it. Chris, we were peppered with questions. Salt and pepper.
Some real good questions. I think Dr. Farrell is really going to enjoy some of these.
Sure.
The first one I want to ask you about kind of goes back to that early 50s time period that you kind of alluded to when we were talking about Ed Lansdale. And this comes from someone, I guess, that some months back sent you an article written by Major Kehoe for the December 1946 issue of True Magazine, in which he describes UAV technology then coming into use. Now, this was published 3 years before his first UFO book, The Flying Saucers Are Real. He goes on to say here that Kehoe would later deny any knowledge of remote control aircraft technology, and he would discount entirely the suggestion that some UFOs could be man-made, remotely piloted aircraft. Well, he says, given this fact, what do you make of T. Townsend Brown's involvement with NICAP, and what might this imply about NICAP's true purpose?
Yeah, let me just frame this here. NICAP, the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, which was the organization that Kehoe became director of before he was actually ousted in the late 60s for various reasons, was founded by this anti-gravity guy, name of T. Townsend Brown. Now, we have about a minute left with the segment, and we'll continue in the next segment. But with this background, Joseph, can you frame it further?
Well, yeah, my guess, quite frankly, is that Kehoe and the whole NICAP episode were created to, in part, to ridicule publicly Thomas Townsend Brown. I go into reasons for that in Covert Wars and Clash of Civilizations. I think Thomas Townsend Brown had deep connections to this deep state or covert development of technologies. I think he had very, very deep connections. And in fact, I document in that book, Covert Wars and Clash of Civilizations, the fact that he may have actually at some point worked for Lockheed Skunk Works, been acquainted with Ben Rich and so on and so forth. You can't be in that world and not know these people. So, you know, that adds another twist to Rich's statement. You know, we found an error in the equations. Now we can take E.T. home.
Before we take E.T. home, unless he's already here, we have Dr. Joseph Farrell exploring many unusual mysteries and conspiracies, answering your questions, listeners. A lot more to go with Gene and Chris in
the Paracast.
Nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $29.95 with free shipping. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
Dr. Joseph Farrell joining us on the Paracast this week with Gene and Chris. And we're coming off the Shop Talk episode last week, which was so much fun. We're now back in the swing of things. Okay, Joseph, any more comments about the NICAP, anti-gravity, T-Townsend-bound connection before we go on?
Well, yeah, the other thing I wanted to mention was that, in my opinion, and there would be those who would disagree with me, and I can understand the reasons for their disagreements, but in my opinion, I think part of the post-war ufology effort, at least on the part of the national security apparatus, was to deflect attention away from the covert development of technologies to an extraterrestrial explanation. We, you know, the familiar story of the U2 often being cited by people thinking that it was some sort of UFO. And in fact, the CIA did kind of push that. I do think that that effort was retained for another reason, in that in my books, I've taken great pains to document that the Nazis during World War II and after were pursuing some of these prototypical technologies on their own. So I think that's the other part of the story they didn't want people looking too closely at, because of the heavy preponderance of German scientists in their own space program. So that's the other thing.
Now, remember, starting with the book Flying Saucers from Outer Space, Major Keogh pushed skyward.
Right.
They're out there. It's E.T.
Right.
So you're suggesting here that at least a portion of it was really Earth-based technology, test weapons, test aircraft,
yes,
that kind of thing.
Yes, I've always thought that. I've always thought that the Nazi angle of the development of some of this technology was being given rather short shrift in the ufology community, or that the ufology community was buying stories that were just on the face of it absurd. You know, the stories of Nazis actually having developed workable flying saucer field propulsion saucers during the war and launched secret expeditions to the moon and Mars and on we could go. I've never bought into that either. I think the truth of the matter lies somewhere in between the extremes, that they were developing some prototypical technology, but it was nowhere near what they were seeing in terms of the performance capabilities of UFOs.
So this doesn't deny the possibility of UFOs from somewhere,
Right.
Only that we have contributed collectively, the collective we, towards a lot of that mystery.
Yeah. We're looking, in my opinion, Gene, at two things. Putting ourselves in the shoes of the national security apparatus after World War II. I think, first of all, it becomes immediately clear to them that they are looking at some sort of post-war independent German project or Nazi project, whatever you wish to call it, that's continuing to research some of this stuff. That's been the burden of a lot of my research on the Nazi books. But as I pointed out in Covert Wars and Clash of Civilizations, you have a man in the American National Intelligence Apparatus by the name of Alfred Leydig. He's a German-American. He's in contact with these Nazis at Wright-Patterson Air Base, people like Walter Lippisch and so on and so forth. He is the one that most people think was the inspiration behind some of the very early post-Roswell U.S. Air Force intelligence collection memoranda, including the famous Shulgin document, all right? And in that document, in its authentic version, it is very clearly pointing the finger of suspicion at Nazi developments during World War II, and it's very clear, if you read the memorandum carefully, as I try and do in my book, Roswell and the Reich, if you read the memorandum, it's also very clear that the U.S. Air Force suspects that there's some independent post-war Nazi project going on that they don't know about. But Leydig is also the one who, on the basis of the sheer numbers of UFO reports, comes to the conclusion that this is beyond the production capacity of any post-war independent Nazi project or anyone else's for that matter. And therefore, there has to be, in addition to that secret terrestrial origin for UFOs, there has to be some other source. So in other words, the national security apparatus is maintaining both sources as a possibility for UFOs. And that's where things get interesting, because in his suggestions to the national security apparatus, he's not only telling them, look for this and that German scientist, because we don't know where they are and we don't know what they're doing, but he's also suggesting we need intelligence collection on the other possible origin, namely a non-terrestrial origin for some of these phenomena. So the national security establishment, again, is put in the position they're having to deal with the communist threat, they're having to deal with some sort of post-war Nazi thing, God knows where it is and what it's doing, and it has to deal with the possibility that we're being visited by someone else that's not from here. So, yeah, they're going to put into place a secret program of crash development, and by the nature of the case, that's going to require a lot of money. So again, all of this is interconnected.
Yeah. And you would think after 60-plus years that they would have made some progress.
Absolutely.
I've got some really good questions here, and sure, I want to get to some of them. This one comes from Nameless, who hit our question bank at forum.theparacast.com, where you can ask questions of our guests that we ask on the air. And he's wondering if you've been making any new FOIA requests. And then he goes on and asks if there's any more new information about those crazy Nazis and their secret technologies, and in particular he wants to know if there's any truth to a Russian scientific team allegedly finding a giant gold swastika. I think it's under Lake Vladivostok, the ice lake.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything about that? That's news to me. I had not heard that.
It's news to me, too. I haven't heard that.
Giant gold swastika under the ice there.
I'd be very surprised.
Yeah.
If the Russians had found anything like that, they certainly wouldn't reveal it. But I tend to think, no, probably not.
Yeah, that sounds a little bit far-fetched. But I have three people that have all asked the same question about that weird object that was found, 3 years ago, I think, under the Baltic, that kind of looked like a UFO. But I think it may have been some sort of Nazi anti-submarine emplacement. Nameless also wants to know what you know about that particular story, and if this technology, if it was an anti-submarine emplacement, would it have had the ability to cut off electricity, and could it still be affecting underwater, like this team's equipment? They were experiencing these kind of weird anomalies in electrical equipment when they approached it. Have you heard anything more about that particular story?
No, I haven't heard anything about it. My suspicion, to be honest again, Chris, is that what you're dealing with there in the Baltic probably is not Nazi. From what I've understood of that object, whatever it is, it's a big concrete thing. What the Nazis would have been doing in the Baltic, there really were no significant naval operations that they conducted in the Baltic until the very beginning of Operation Barbarossa in 1941, and then toward the very end of the war, in February of 1945, the German Navy evacuated thousands of troops that had been encircled in Courland. But other than that, I'm not aware of any real significant German naval operations in the Baltic, covert or otherwise.
Well, now, or the need to have something like that there.
There wasn't any threat from the Russian Baltic fleet. The only other naval power in that region would have been Sweden, and of course Germany wasn't at war with Sweden.
Right. Yeah, they were neutral. Here's another question that goes into again this end of the war period, which is really, I think you do a great job in your books, actually, kind of following the tendrils of different interesting characters. And Boomerang wants to know if you have any information on the mysterious disappearance after World War II of Hans Kammler, who was an SS officer, who was also in charge of exotic technology for the SS.
We're going to have the answer to that question and more questions from our listeners with Dr. Joseph Farrell. And Gene and Chris in
the Paracast.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on our distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Dr. Joseph Farrell is answering your questions from the question bank at forum.theparacast.com with Gene and Chris. Chris, before we get Joseph's response, is there another part to that question?
Well, he just ties in the possibility that Nick Cook may have been onto something in his book, Hunt for Zero Point, because Collmer was very involved in some of these exotic technologies, and then he just disappears. And yes. Do we know what happened to him?
Well, Nick Cook and Igor Vitkovsky, the two researchers that broke the story of the bell, Igor, of course, broke it in Polish, and then Nick Cook was made aware of his research and broke the story in Hunt for Zero Point for the first time in the English language. And then I picked up on the story largely from Nick Cook and went back and read Igor's research.
Right, and then you had Reich of the Black Sun and Brotherhood of the Bell, two excellent books that I recommend highly.
I got in touch with Igor and began to connect the dots between the Bell and the so-called fusion project that was being run by a Nazi scientist in Argentina by the name of Dr. Ronald Richter for Juan Perón, all right? And to my mind, the dots connect to Argentina rather than, as Nick Cook and Igor maintained, to this country. Now, I have people in Argentina that have told me, and I wish I could, you know, I'm one of those people that dislikes profoundly having to rely or say things based on anonymous resources. So read my books, folks, because what I do there is I connect other dots between the Bell Project and Argentina other than relying upon anonymous sources. So I can't say who these people are. Yeah. But
why don't you give our first-time listeners who perhaps missed your previous appearance just a thumbnail sketch on the Nazi Bell Project?
Well, let me get to that in a minute. Okay. I want to make sure I answer the Kammler question, because I've had people in Argentina tell me that Kammler did go to Argentina, that he disappeared with the last Junkers 390, which is a huge six-engine aircraft that was capable of flying nonstop from Germany down to South America. In fact, it was one of the first planes equipped for mid-air refueling. So, you know, leave it to the Germans to come up with something like this. But
I know that.
Yeah. The Junkers 290 and 390 were both capable of being refueled mid-air. But Kammler, according to these people in Argentina, flew that last Junkers 390 to Argentina, and once he got there, the Junkers 390 itself was dismantled, which is why you've never seen this huge mother of a plane again. You know, there's only pictures of the thing. Now, the Bell Project, what briefly it is I've always maintained that the Nazis, when they set up their secret research projects prior to the outbreak of World War II, they set up, in effect, what amounts to an early version of the American DARPA. In fact, I think DARPA is modeled on the Kammler stop, on Kammler's group. When they set up these projects before the war, they set up another branch of the SS called Forschung Entwicklung und Patente, Research, Development, and Patents, This was under an SS four-star general by the name of Emil Massuf, about whom you can find literally nothing. And his FOIA file is still classified. I mean, you can literally find nothing about this man.
Why would you keep a file classified
this long?
It had no significance.
Exactly. Massuf was responsible for vetting all patent applications in the Third Reich and then later, of course, occupied Europe, and pulling any patent that had national security applications and implications and turning them over to the SS for further research and development, which, of course, meant basically turning it over to Kammler. All right, now, when this group was established under Massuf, another group was established called Entwicklungsstelle 4, Development Area 4, S4, interestingly enough. And what this group was supposed to do was make Germany energy independent. All right. Now, what this meant was they viewed any form of atomic energy as being the key to their energy independence. So the Nazis, in my opinion, were after three things with their exotic physics. They were, first of all, after so-called free energy or zero-point energy. Tuck that in the back of your mind because that's part of the story. It's a detail I want to get back to. The second thing they were after was any time, and they were dealing with engineering the fabric of space-time on the laboratory bench, all right? That's the other thing I want to make very clear that my research has indicated. Now, anytime you say that, anytime you say that you are able to engineer the fabric of space-time on the laboratory bench, what you're saying is, first of all, you have the ability to create free energy or so-called zero-point energy, and two, you have a prototypical field propulsion capability. So that's the other thing they're after. And then thirdly, if you can engineer the fabric of space-time on the laboratory bench and weaponize it, then you've got a weapon that potentially would make a hydrogen bomb look like a firecracker, all right? And Nazis being Nazis, you know, they're going to be after a weapon. The Bell Project comes out of the second of these things. It is a project, from all accounts, that appears to have been conceived by the Nazis to investigate all three of these areas, but particularly the second one. And they apparently did, if eyewitness reports are to be credited, and again, that's part of the story, if they're to be credited, they apparently did achieve some sort of basic field propulsion capability because the device apparently levitated, all right? And that's all it did, okay? In other words, it didn't zip around like a UFO. It levitated, and that was it. But that was significant enough. Now, why did I mention zero-point energy? Because when you look at this fusion project of this Nazi working ostensibly for Juan Perón in the early 1950s, Dr. Richter, when he was later queried by the U.S. Air Force on exactly what he was doing, because he had been denounced publicly in the world press as a charlatan and a fraud. But apparently this charlatan and a fraud was interesting enough to the U.S. Air Force that they interviewed him secretly, okay? And one atomic energy expert actually said in his report to the Air Force that this guy is some sort of mad genius working in the 1970s, okay? In other words, he's a couple decades ahead of the rest of us, folks. But anyway, Richter, when he was interviewed, said to the Air Force, and I put this quotation in my book, The Nazi International. Richter said that he was experimenting with plasmas in a state of rotation. Now stop and think right there how clever that is. Because a hydrogen bomb, as we've been told, is nothing but a huge miniature sun. All right. It works on the same principles. But the sun is a chained-up hydrogen bomb in the standard model, and it's in rotation and under electromagnetic stress, all right? And that's exactly what the Bell Project did. It rotated plasmas and subjected them to electrical stress. So in other words, they were trying to conduct or construct an analog of the sun, all right? And therefore, that means that they're manipulating fusion and they're manipulating gravity all at the same time. So Richter's down there in Argentina, rotating his plasmas and subjecting them to electrical stress, being denounced as a fraud and a charlatan by the world press and Argentinian nuclear scientists. And when he's interviewed by the Air Force, he says, oh, and by the way, I discovered all of this in 1936 in my experiments. Stop and consider that date, folks. On top of that, he tells the Air Force, and I discovered that plasmas in this condition can function as a transducer of the cellular structure of space and access. And this is one of the first times that you will hear this next phrase in any literature, and access the zero point energy. So in other words, yeah, it's not only interesting, it's kind
of... Well, just think about that. We're talking almost 70 years of the development curve.
Exactly.
I mean, obviously, your skeptics, the first thing they're going to say is, well, wait a minute, Joseph, how come none of this technology has come out? Why are we still, you know, operating fossil fuels?
I'll tell you why. First of all, if you're the power elite, you're dealing with a technology which, if it gets out, creates a proliferation nightmare. All right. Nuclear energy can be traced primarily because the standard model, the standard theory of making a thermonuclear weapon, a hydrogen bomb, is you have to have an atom bomb to set the dang thing off to create the heat and pressure gradients necessary to achieve fusion.
I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be set off if we don't do this break. That's a bad one, I'll tell you. Joseph Farrell joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Does advertising on the Genesis Communications Radio Network actually bring positive results? Let's ask
Thomas Baldrick from Freeze Dry Guy.
Thomas, talk about customer service at GCN.
GCN is extraordinary in how they take care of their customers. The bottom line, Freeze Dry Guy keeps advertising on GCN because it works.
If you'd like to experience unbelievable customer service, call Lee Wickenhauser at 877-996-4327, extension 107.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.